Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 11, 2021. Smart Generation. The coronavirus pandemic has made such drastic changes in the world that it has thrown it in disarray. And we will see how governments, leaders, and all kinds of organizations cannot find ways to work with people. The need for the science of Kabbalah, for the method of connection between us and the Creator, will be revealed more and more. Divinity is only those souls, those desires, directed to the Creator. The souls who have awakened to the Creator are called divinity, and the Creator begins to reveal Himself in them according to their efforts to awaken themselves to connection with Him. In the end, everyone must join the common soul, each according to his own level. Do not think that souls that awaken later are smaller. On the contrary, souls awaken starting from the lightest to increasingly heavier ones. The light corrections are done first, which then help us make larger and more complex corrections. Therefore, those souls who must rise after us are heavier and more important. And the souls that are awakening now, which are called Israel, that is, those who strive straight to the Creator, are not so difficult to correct compared to those who will come after them. Generation after generation, the desire grows, and the ability to be smarter and more inventive grows accordingly. We will see how after the pandemic, the Creator will perform other exercises with us, to awaken the understanding of how to get closer to the spiritual. He will act on our entire generation so that everyone feels the need to approach Him and connect with Him. The whole world will feel that the main thing in life is not the coronavirus, not material success, and not the illusory values with which we filled our lives. The Creator will begin to shine a little deeper into the thickness of our material and will illuminate our inner darkness. We will discover such desires in ourselves that we did not even know about. Blow by blow, people will gradually begin to discover how much they lack the meaning of life. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, May 2nd, 2021, Chasing the Shehinah. Fjords of the Soul. Pursuing the Shehinah means pursuing the state our common soul was in before the shattering of Adam HaRishon. We were all united as one soul, filled with the upper light, the presence of the Creator. But we could not hold on to our connection because a personal desire appeared in each of us, the connection disintegrated, and the light, the presence of the Creator, departed from us. This means that the Shehinah departed. We are left with only a tiny glow, with a faint spark of life, the minimum measure of upper light given to us, to sustain life so that we can return to the perfect state we were in. But you can return there only through your own efforts, thanks to your own request, prayer, and efforts to unite. Any steps toward connection, even physical ones, are important because they bring us closer to inner connection. As a result, we will return to the previous state, and the presence of the Creator, called Shehinah, will fill us. All the gaps and cracks between us will be filled with the presence of the Creator. Therefore, every time we feel distant from each other, we must imagine how the Creator can fill these gaps. We do not need to come together in such a way as to eliminate all the cracks between us, but we need the Creator to fill all these empty gaps like water fills the gorge between the mountains and forms fjords. So, to the extent of our annulment, the rejection of egoism, the upper light will fill the whole space between our peaks and connect us together. Then we will feel that we are truly one. But we are not connected to each other directly, only through the Creator who is between us. We strive to reach this state as one man with one heart. We do not need to go back to the old state, to the same one heart. This must be the heart in which the Creator fills all the voids, the whole space between us. We will feel this separation more and more. More and more differences and disagreements of all kinds will be revealed between us. We do not cancel them, but want to fill them with the Shehinah, the Creator. Therefore, all our work consists of pursuing the Shehinah, The presence of the Creator who binds us. We are not able to unite as one man with one heart, but the Creator can enter between us, and unite us. Without the presence of the Creator and the connection between us, we feel ourselves in exile. We come out of exile if the Creator is revealed between us, and we connect with each other through Him. The Creator is revealed only as a connection between us. It is impossible to connect unless the Creator fills all the gaps between us, and connects us. If we are so different and distant from each other, then only the upper force can connect us, equalize us, and establish the contact between us. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson May 4, 2021, Chasing the Shehinah. My new article on LinkedIn, One Name, One Nation? The Tragedy on Mount Moriah, where 45 Orthodox Jews were crushed to death in a narrow passageway as thousands of fellow celebrants tried to squeeze their way out of a festive gathering on the festival of Lag BaOmer is a tragic and utterly redundant accident. In the wake of the disaster, a heartwarming phenomenon has emerged, which no one had expected. Many secular Jews, who are usually worlds apart from the Orthodox community, sympathized with the grieving families. Many of them expressed their sympathy online, and some of them even traveled to the mourners' homes to comfort them. The Orthodox Jews, who are usually very cold and patronizing toward secular Jews, embraced those displays of empathy, and everyone who witnessed these sights wished that we could always be like that, brethren of the same nation, without the need for tragedies to remind us of our ancestry. In order to create a lasting connection between the two camps, they have to place unity above their current values. At the moment, they are nowhere near this and are not headed in this direction whatsoever. Unity is the thing they care about the least. The victory of their own values over the values of the other camp is all they want. Can there be unity in such a state? Can they even be regarded as one nation? I believe their wish is honest, but regrettably, it is only a wish. When life returns to normalcy, the parties will return to enmity. Looking forward, I don't see our future as bright, since I don't see an inclination to unite the factions in the people of Israel. In 1940, my teacher's father, the great Kabbalist Balhar Sulam, wrote that Jews are like a bag of nuts, held together by blows. But when there are no blows, it is as though the bag is torn and the nuts disperse in every direction. Regrettably, the hatred, repulsion, and alienation in our hearts are so deep that I don't think this event, or any tragedy, for that matter, can bring us together. The problem is that the values of Orthodox Jews and secular Jews are so far apart that there is nothing that can bridge them. They are literally worlds apart. For the Orthodox, the ultimate goal in life is to dedicate themselves to worshipping God as they understand it. At the same time, the other faction strives to lead a Western lifestyle with secular values. This is why when the sadness over the loss subsides, only the chasm between two vastly different ways of life will remain, perceptions of reality that cannot live side by side. I am sorry to say this, but no tragedy can set in motion a force that will bring those worlds together. If you look at Orthodox weddings, bar mitzvahs, and other occasions that people celebrate, you will rarely find anyone there who isn't an Orthodox Jew. If you do happen to see there's someone who doesn't look Orthodox, it is probably a politician looking to garner voters or clout in an untapped territory. Likewise, you will not find Orthodox Jews in celebrations of secular Israelis. The two are indeed worlds apart. The values, the most important issues to the two parties hold dear, are not only vastly different, they are opposite. In order to create a lasting connection between the two camps, they have to place unity above their current values. At the moment, they are nowhere near this and are not headed in this direction whatsoever. Unity is the thing they care about the least. The victory of their own values over the values of the other camp is all they want. Can there be unity in such a state? Can they even be regarded as one nation? I think that until all of us, all the parties regarded as belonging to the Jewish nation, put unity on top, or in simpler words, make love your neighbor as yourself our prime value, we have no chance of uniting. On the contrary, the more we remain under the same political entity without building unity, the more we will increase the hatred that already exists between the factions. As things stand, the best next step should be to divide the country into two separate entities, as Abraham said to Lot, "Please separate from me, if to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left," Gen 13:9. Once we realize that this is not the way we want to live, probably after countless ordeals and traumas, we will be able to put unity on top of everything. Then, and only then, we will succeed. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how can I win the hearts and love of other people? You can win the hearts and love of other people by loving them, which means feeling their desires and doing everything possible in order to fulfill them. You will then act toward them in a way that they like and enjoy. Based on CabTV's Kabbalah Express on April 12, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Realize the property of bestowal and love. Question, what does the state we shall do and we shall hear mean? Answer, by trying to realize the quality of bestowal and love in ourselves, we commit to fulfill this condition between us. And then, to the extent that we realize it in ourselves and among ourselves, we can realize what it gives us, how it changes us. Question, what does it mean that a person must first do and then hear? Answer, to realize in our relations, as far as possible, the property of bestowal and love. And then we begin to realize what the spiritual property really means. Question, is to hear a feeling, does it mean to perceive? Answer, yes. From CabTV's Spiritual States April 9, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora. How would you change if you won a $500 million lottery? Recently in the United States, four people collectively won a little over $1 billion. It was the third biggest lottery win in US history, and the prize pool keeps growing. There is a well-known phenomenon where people who suddenly win such massive amounts of money have bigger chances of bankruptcy. These prize winners receive a rare opportunity to make an effort to relate to life in a balanced manner. Can they balance the forces working on them in order to deal with the temptation of buying extravagant and unnecessary items? We are unable to digest or fully understand such a magnitude of luck. True luck is having the ability to be directed to a balanced state through every situation, to constantly choose the happy middle between intellect and emotion. Sometimes we are lucky in some life events and unlucky in others. It so happens in order for us to find a balance by ourselves, so that we can check to see if what we receive is truly essential in our lives. No matter how we spin it, luck exists within the system of nature, and no matter how lucky we are, we still depend on the general calculation where we are all connected together, the state of our collective soul. In such a state, forces operate on all of us, at every given moment, and we have no idea as to why, how, to whom and when certain events arise for all kinds of people. In order to derive more luck from this system, we should want to use nature's forces in a balanced manner, with the desire to perceive and sense the system of nature in a balanced and harmonious way at every given moment of our lives. We become balanced when our intellect and emotions are balanced, that is, when our human nature, the force of reception, and the general nature, the force of giving, are balanced, regardless of our myriad drives. By balancing ourselves with nature, that is, by acquiring the giving force over our innate receptive force, then our behavior can serve as an example for how to relate beneficially to other people. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The Mystery of the Unification of the Masculine and Feminine, Part 4. Why has the balance in family life been disrupted? Question: what prevents a married couple from managing their egoistic nature? After all, they both want to be happy with what they create between them. Answer: a couple doesn't fully understand where they are, which forces influence them, and why everything in the corporeal world is divided into male and female. In our world, the relations between the created being and the creator are somehow imprinted in the relations between the sexes, although there are masculine and feminine attributes in both males and females. However, we cannot come to any connection with each other. Still, when we establish any connection with each other, we see that to the extent that we develop egoistically from one generation to the next, we actually draw further away from each other. It seems that we can get closer to each other in the sense of gender these days and to understand each other better, but it isn't really so. The ego that develops awakens even greater resistance and rejection in us. Throughout human history, men and women always knew what fate designated for them. A man had to provide bread for the family and a woman had to manage the home. A home is the woman, and she is responsible for managing the household and for raising the children, and the man has to provide all their needs. A couple understood that this is how they shared their responsibilities, and so they carried the burden of life. It stemmed from the nature of family life, as their grandfathers and grandmothers and fathers and mothers set such an example for them. Suddenly, about 100 years ago, all this began to fall apart all over the world. It did not matter whether a country was developed or not, the breakdown was the same. It took place in all the conservative and orthodox communities, and even in fanatic Islamic communities. The plan of creation brings us to the point that we cannot do anything. Our egoism has grown so much that we can no longer leave the woman at home so that she can bring up the children and cook while the man goes out to work. This is impossible today, and so we ask ourselves, how do we continue to live? This is where the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah comes in order to explain to us what the right relationship between a man and woman is, because today it is impossible to achieve it in the same way as in the past. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 3, 2019. Tell the truth flat out or keep silent. Comment: a writer asks, I want to understand how I can cope with myself. I cannot help telling the truth to people. I feel bad if I hide it and, therefore, I constantly break up relations. I speak the truth. I do not know what to do. This is such a heartfelt cry. My response: this is not a heartfelt cry. It is a cry of egoism, because he wants to impose his opinion on others. He believes that he understands the state of others, their wrong state, their possible correct state, and he wants to impose his understanding on them. This is absolute egoism that must simply be destroyed within oneself. Who gives you the right to impose your opinion, your feelings, and your tastes on others? Do they expect this from you? Even if you think that this will make you better, it still does not give you the right to approach them and start filling them with your reasoning, tastes, goals, and so on. Comment: I must say that there are a lot of people who think so. My response: this is such upbringing. Question: is there, generally speaking, such a truth that needs to be told to a person? Answer: truth is only in giving a person free will so that he chooses his truth, and that's all. This is the most important thing in raising children and in relationships between adults as well. Question: how can we do it? Answer: teach a person the technique of the correct revelation of life. If it were so, then we would all live perfectly, and so it will be someday. Question: what if a person has a 100% belief that he is right and is simply obliged to pass it on to another? Answer: then he must shut himself up and swallow himself in order not to choke on his own truth. What egoism he has! This egoism does not even allow him to feel it. The only thing that a person can do is to simply understand how selfish he is, that he is obliged to fill another with his opinion. It's horrible. This is stated very simply, the highest limit of wisdom is in silence. Question, that is, you are better off keeping quiet at this moment? Answer, yes. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 15, 2021. May the waters be filled with living creatures. It is written in the act of creation, let the waters be filled with swarming living creatures. That is, you cannot kill a person who is called a being, a living being. The book of Zohar, water is the light of Hasidim. Everything came from water. Even from the ground nothing can grow without water. Thus, the commandment thou shalt not kill corresponds to the act of creation, let the waters be filled with swarming living creatures, that is, the appearance of all living beings, no longer on the vegetative level but with more developed, animate qualities. In this regard, Darwin was right in looking at the whole picture. The only thing he was wrong about was the law of natural development, that nature itself finds ways to develop. This is something that is pre-programmed and is gradually realized according to the informational data that comes from the very beginning, from the first act of creation. Darwin did not understand this. Therefore, we are in this uncertainty. On one hand, it seems that he is right that there is a development, and on the other hand, we do not see how one thing develops from the other, where the intermediate stages are, and so on. Here people disagree and cannot find answers. Kabbalah answers this very simply. More than 2,000 years ago in the Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah, Abraham already wrote about these creations that everything comes from the informational data. There is nothing new. What we see before us is nothing other than the informational data in newer and newer manifestations of creation. These creations appear as if they never existed before. However, they did exist, but only in the form of forces or information, and now they are manifested before us. So, this is nothing unusual, Darwin was right. From CAB TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 11. When stones turn into pearls. Thus, are they the good gems that the world stands on? After all, in another place, it is written that they are the ruin of the world, as it is written, this is hevel, vanity, and it is an evil disease. And striving after wind. The book of Zohar Kehelet, Ecclesiastes, mentioned in the book of Zohar, was written by King Solomon, Shlomo. Each name has its own meaning. Shlomo, from the word Shalem. Shalem from the world famous word Shalom, which means Shlemut, completeness, perfection. That is, when I say to someone, Shalom, I want everything to be perfect for them. Therefore, the name Solomon, Shlomo, speaks of the perfection achieved by the king as a great Kabbalist, a sage. Everyone knows that he was a wise man. But many people think that Solomon was just a wise man. No, he was not only a sage, but a truly great Kabbalist. And his wisdom is nothing but the light of wisdom that he received from the space surrounding us. After all, we live in a space filled with energy, information, and eternal movement. From this space, with our current sense organs, we catch only very tiny clumps of matter and perceive this energy and information in the form of the low matter of our world. And King Solomon, this great Kabbalist, felt the energy and information that exists around us, and described it in his book Kehelet. In addition, Kehelet is one of his seven names. And Kehelet is the highest of them. King Solomon discovered that we are in the lowest state, which can be called stones, the foundations of our grossest material world. Moreover, these stones are immovable, nothing can be made of them. It is a matter that cannot change. But those stones that you turn from the most immovable and dead into the quality of bestowal and love, that is, when you begin to process, to transform, your primitive, egoistic desires, directed only to yourself, which cannot be moved into bestowal and love, into a connection with others, then they really turn into pearls, into great positive forces on which the world stands. And then, from the seven great inanimate pillars, they turn into pillars of light directed outward from you. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 13. The Law of the Boomerang. Question: do we currently treat each other egoistically without even realizing it? Answer: we do not understand that we are beating ourselves with this, and terribly so, and getting many times more damage than the momentary pleasure we are giving ourselves. Question: why? What is the reason for this? Answer: egoism closes our eyes. Therefore, we think that by humiliating and suppressing others, we rise and are better off. But, this is not so. Suddenly, a general system is revealed to us, a common dependence on each other. If I suppress, humiliate, or deceive others, I do damage to myself many times more. This comes back to me at a much greater loss than what I supposedly earned and enjoyed when I did something bad to someone else. The system of connection between us is arranged so that this comes back to me. Not immediately, not explicitly to me. Yet, if I see the whole system, I will behave correctly. Then I will not have any questions about how to make a prenuptial agreement. I will do nothing wrong even to someone who is far away, much less to someone I am going to live with. I will clearly see the reason we met, and it is not by chance. How we need to communicate with each other, and what level of agreement we need to reach. Question: will there be no thoughts about using each other, not trusting each other? Answer: how can I do this if I feel that it will immediately come back to me, affect me? Where can I hide? I will begin to see the other as a part of me even more important than myself. After all, passing through him, this signal will return to me amplified. Therefore, the very security system that exists in me all the time will not allow me to think or do something bad. Question: today, this security system works in one direction. How I can isolate myself from the other? When it begins to work toward the outside, will the vector change and the attitude change? Answer: yes. But only if we will see that we are interconnected. From Cab TV's Close Up, August 19, 2009. Do not impose LD world values. Question: usually, parents try to impose their values on their children, and children absolutely do not accept this. Today, for example, they do not accept an excessive desire for knowledge or for work. Is this fundamentally wrong? Answer: each generation has its own aspirations. The old generation in no way can impose their understanding of nature on the younger generation. It has outlived themselves and should give them only nourishment. And the new generation must develop in its desires and aspirations. It is only desirable that they be correct and not as tangled and broken as they are today. You should never impose the thoughts and values of the old generation on the new one. Educate by example only. With this example, I show that I solve all questions, needs, tasks in this way, respecting, calculating, being in balance with the environment, with myself, with my family, etc. Therefore, according to my example, they will also solve their problems at their own level, with the same attitude toward them. We only need an example, no words. Children understand everything like monkeys. They understand us better than we think. The main thing for us is to correct ourselves, and then we will be able to influence them in this way. In addition, our inner desires and inner corrections are associated with their souls because they come from us. If for their sake we want to create a correct, harmonious, kind society, which takes into account each other and wants to achieve mutual public consent, then they will feel it. In them, it will begin to act in spite of and without any prodding from our side. I really hope that this will be the catalyst, the button, that will push us, and force us, to start correcting ourselves. comment, but you say that our generation is a generation of spoiled, lost people. My response, moreover, it is the spoiled people who can begin to change for the sake of their children, so that at least in them they can see a certain direction for the better. Otherwise, can you imagine how unhappy they will be compared to us? We will see a completely disfigured, twisted, incomprehensible society, which stagnates in convulsions and does not know how to escape from suffering. We will see this in our children and grandchildren. Question: and what to do? Answer: just turn to yourself. We cannot fix them. Turn to yourself, without looking at them. And suddenly we will see how they begin to take an example from us, begin to draw closer to us, and participate with us, in new relations to each other, in the construction of a new society. From CAB TV's Close Up, August 19, 2009. How not to succumb to sadness. Question: I have been studying the wisdom of Kabbalah for 2 years now. I constantly feel guilty for investing very little in the ten. I am forced to filter my thoughts and desires every single moment. I am not happy anymore. Is this wrong? After all, you say that Kabbalists are the greatest egoists and that they love to enjoy. Answer: you should not restrict yourself from pleasures in any way. The goal of creation is to bring pleasure to the created beings. A person should never be in a state of sadness. If this state comes and takes possession of him, it is not a good thing. This state should be limited in time and intensity, because with your sadness you reproach the Creator for having brought you to this world and for forcing you to suffer. What is his attribute of bestowal? It should be manifested now too. In any state, each of you and all of you together should feel absolutely happy, because the Creator constantly guides you only to the good. This is why it is written that even if a sharp sword is placed on your neck, you should still believe that it is for the best and that the Creator will save you. It is actually this force that leads you forward and saves you. You should beware of being discouraged, especially in the group. If the group sits and suffers, it is a terrible spiritual crime. It should not happen under any circumstances. On the contrary, you should kindle joy and optimism. Question: sometimes, in a state of descent, it seems that the whole world is collapsing. How should we work with our thoughts in this state? Answer: I understand you, the world is indeed collapsing, but it is the whole world and not us. We know what this world is for and what we should do in order to bring the method of salvation to the world, which only depends on changing our intention, our consciousness, our desire, our connection. It is actually our connection with each other and with the Creator that the salvation of the world depends on. And then we will feel ourselves in the upper world. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 3, 2019.